Well, tonight we have somebody that I enjoy listening to. And you know he's big enough if he sees you not listening to make sure everybody listens to what he has to say. Right? Wake him up back there because I'm talking about him, would you? I'm talking about him and he's ignoring me. You better listen because you'll find out something about yourself that you didn't know. Or you didn't want anybody else to know. Anyhow, yeah, he's a problem child, but I love him and everybody loves him. Everybody loves him. So we'll put up with him being a problem child. Oh, how fun it is to be up here and look at these beautiful faces. You see Charlene come in and sit down by that handsome young man back there? Oh, I'm learning so much when I'm up here and I get to look. I see a sweet little face over there I didn't remember seeing before. Have I met you before? Don't leave until I get to meet you. You know, God is the most wonderful feeling in the world because God is love, and love is the most wonderful feeling you can ever possibly feel. And this man that's going to share his thoughts with us tonight, well, yeah, you can't help but love him, but his name is Georgie Porgy, Puddin' and Pie. He kisses the girls and makes them cry. Everybody knows who that is, huh? Do you, Bill?
I do.
How do you know?
He kissed me, but I didn't cry.
Oh, I like that. I like that. It's so good for me to be back. You know, I was gone the 2 weeks. You may not have missed me, but I sure missed you. This is just a wonderful, wonderful feeling to see all these beautiful people. But back to where I was talking about a few minutes ago, half hour ago, maybe 25 minutes ago, our speakers and I love him. And I think everybody else does too. And if you don't, it's because you don't know him. It's our Mr. George Thorne.
Thank you, I think.
You think? Oh, I didn't mention he's always bragging. I think, he says. Wow.
How's everybody tonight?
Excellent.
So it was the minister's birthday, and the congregation decided to give him a new suit. And when he got his suit, he was very excited. And he went and stood up in front of his congregation the following Sunday and stood before everyone. He felt so moved by it, he had tears in his eyes. And so he said, "And today I will be preaching to you in my birthday suit." What do you think?
You're not preaching your birthday.
Seriously. My talk tonight may be a little different than what you might be used to, but it's something I've been thinking about. It's been on my mind for a while, and I'd like to share it with you. I'd like to ask all of you a question. And the question is, do you think that you are now or have ever been in prison? I'm not talking about a cell and being behind bars with jailers keeping you down 24/7. Excuse me. I'm talking about the ones we create in our own minds, where we're our own jailers. Excuse me. This prison state of mind is possibly left over from when we were small and had to learn survival skills from those who were supposed to love us and couldn't always do it like they were supposed to. Those survival skills were what we had to do, how we had to act and learn how to behave in order to get along with those who were supposed to take care of us. Unfortunately, though, what we learned at an early age quite often is not the truth of who we really are. As a result, we're often in pain, feel depressed, drink, do drugs, overeat, watch too much TV, or a whole bunch of other things that distract us from the truth of who we really are. So if any of you can answer yes to this question, I know I can. And if we're honest, I think most of us can say yes at least sometime in our lives. If so, I would like to give you a thought. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, God is standing by you always. And no matter what is holding you back, no matter what is keeping you down and from reaching your potential, you don't have to stay that way. It occurred to me that some of the greatest people in history have actually been in real prisons at some point in their lives, but went on to make an extraordinary difference in the world. What a great metaphor for us all. That no matter how dark it seems, no matter how great the pain, or what you are going through, God is standing there with you. And there are great things ahead for each and every one of us. All you have to do is know it, believe it, and most of all accept it, that God is always with you. Nelson Mandela served as president of South Africa from 1994 to 99. He was the country's first black head of state and the first elected in a fully representative democratic election. His government focused on dismantling the legacy of apartheid by tackling racism and fostering racial reconciliation. In 1962, Mandela was arrested for fighting to end apartheid in what was then an all-white government with brutal all-white laws against people of color throughout the country. He served 27 years in prison. But Mandela was also a man of God. Actually, he was a Methodist and held a deep belief in the Bible. He knew that God was always standing by him. From prison, Mandela wrote to his wife about a novel he had read called Shadows of Nazareth. It is about the trial of Christ Jesus. The voice in the novel is that of Pontius Pilate, the Roman prosecutor who judged him. Mandela, in 64, had just recently been sentenced in court. He wrote that though the trial of Jesus occurred about 2,000 years ago, the story, and it is a story, contains a moral whose truth is universal and which is as fresh and meaningful today as it was at the height of the Roman Empire. Reciting from memory, Mandela would often adopt the voice of Pilate himself whenever he would remember the words. But this trial of Christ I shall never forget. I looked at the prisoner and our eyes met. In the midst of all the excitement and noise, he remained perfectly calm, quiet, and confident, as if he had millions of people on his side. Christ had become a mighty force in the land, and the masses of the people were fully behind him. In this situation, the priests were powerless. Mandela described how Pilate agreed to judge Jesus, then offered the public a choice that freed not Jesus but the zealot Barabbas, and then how he, Pilate, finally ordered Jesus brought into the court. Pilate says, and listen to these words, "For the first time in my experience, I faced a man whose eyes appeared to see right through me, whereas I was unable to fathom him. Written across his face was a gleam of love and hope, but at the same time he bore the expression of one who was deeply pained by the folly and suffering of mankind as a whole. He gazed upwards, and his eyes seemed to pierce through the roof and to see right beyond the stars. It became clear in that courtroom authority was not me as a judge, but down below in the dock where the prisoner was." In other words, God, as we know, was always with Jesus. And I believe, and I really believe, the difference between Jesus and the rest of us is that he really, really knew it and lived his life every minute, every day with that knowing. Widely regarded as an icon of democracy and social justice, Mandela went on to receive more than 250 honors, including the Nobel Peace Prize. In the end, no matter how dark his life, he knew there was something greater. Despite 27 years in prison, he is now remembered as the father of his nation. Mahatma Gandhi was the leader of the Indian independence movement against British rule. Gandhi led India to independence and inspired movements for civil rights and freedom across the world. He was imprisoned 13 times in his life and spent years behind bars. Gandhi led the Indian people in challenging the British imposed taxes beginning in 1930 and later called for the British to quit India in 1942. In August 1947, Britain finally granted independence, and Gandhi played a significant role in achieving that independence. But the British Empire was partitioned into two dominions, a Hindu-majority India and a Muslim-majority Pakistan. Gandhi was a deeply spiritual man, however, and even though he grew up a Hindu, his highest ideal was religious pluralism, the acceptance of all religions. Listen to his words and see if you don't think he knew that God always stood by him. True religion is not a narrow dogma. It is not external observance. It is faith in God and living in the presence of God. It means faith in a future life, in truth. No physical inconvenience can warrant abandonment of one's own religion. Or what about this thought? The sum total of all that lives is God. We may not be God, but we are of God, even as a little drop of water is of the ocean. I think we've heard that here before. God stood by Gandhi always, even though he was in prison 13 times in his life. He was able to lead his people away from the tyranny of British rule to independence. There's one more. How can we talk about great men and not talk about Jesus? The arrest of Jesus is a pivotal event recorded in the Gospels. The event ultimately leads in the Gospel accounts to Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus was arrested by temple guards in the Garden of Gethsemane shortly after the Last Supper, immediately after the kiss of Judas, which was a symbolic act of betrayal, since Judas made a deal with the chief priest to arrest Jesus. The arrest led immediately to his trial, during which time they condemned him to death and handed him to Pilate. From the Last Supper to the trial, the crucifixion and resurrection, it pretty much encapsulates the meaning of Christianity. So yes, he was temporarily in prison, but can you think of any man who has more shaped the history of the world? And do we think anyone in the history of the world knew that God stood by him more than Jesus? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Maybe Jesus is the greatest metaphor for all of us who have ever felt imprisoned at one time or another. Because if you think about it, the resurrection of Jesus is symbolic of the resurrection each of us is capable of, as we move out of our own self-imprisonment from our smaller self into our greater self. All we have to do is know that God stands by us. I came across this theme because I ran across a song very recently that's a very old song, but I heard it for the first time in a very different way. Originally, it was a love song, but I think it has much greater meaning if you really listen to the words. I'm going to share these words with you. But imagine that the words you really hear are words from God. It's called, I'll Stand By You. Oh, why you look so sad, the tears are in your eyes. Come on and come to me now, and don't be ashamed to cry. Let me see you through, because I've seen the dark side too. When the night falls on you, you don't know what to do. Nothing you confess could make me love you less. I'll stand by you. I'll stand by you, won't let nobody hurt you. I'll stand by you. So if you're mad, get mad. Don't hold it all inside. Come on and talk to me now. Hey there, what you got to hide? I get angry too. Well, I'm alive like you. When you're standing at the crossroads and don't know which path to choose, let me come along. Because even if you're wrong, I'll stand by you. I'll stand by you, won't let nobody hurt you. I'll stand by you. Even in your darkest hour, I'll never desert you. I'll stand by you. And when the night falls on you, you're feeling all alone, you're wandering on your own, I'll stand by you. I'll stand by you, won't let nobody hurt you. I'll never desert you. I'll stand by you. You know, I know what it's like to be in prison. I've overcome abuse as a kid in my home, suffered through alcoholism, drugs, 12 years of antidepressants, I gained 100 pounds, I was in a lot of pain. And from all of that, I now know two things. One, all that stuff that I did isn't who I really am. For too many years, I let it define me. But all that, what was going on, was on the outside. It was my behaviors. It is not, I repeat, it is not the truth of who I really am on the inside, because I know that I am a child of God. And second, if I know one thing on this earth, most of my healing has come from knowing that God is with me always. And that when I feel that love, which still isn't as often as I would like, but when I do feel God's love, I know that I'm a very blessed man. To sum it all up, I would like to finish with some words from Marianne Williamson, which many of you have heard, but I think it's very appropriate tonight. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I know that God is good and God is love, and most of all, I know that God stands by me, and most certainly with each and every one of you. Thank you very much.